Would turn in your Bibles to a pretty familiar passage of Scripture if you're a Baptist. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18. The Lord says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I think it kind of went like this. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Christ is the rock. Peter, Petra, is a little stone. Christ is the rock. He built the church upon Himself. He is the founder as well as the foundation of His kind of New Testament church. Now, if you know what a church is, it is a congregation of baptized believers, an assembly, a congregation of baptized believers who have covenanted together to follow Christ and carry out the Great Commission. Now, if that is what a church is biblically, then you know he can't be talking about the Roman Catholic Church, because they don't believe that the church is made up of baptized believers. See, they don't even baptize people. They sprinkle them. So my contention here is that Jesus is addressing the members of the first church, informing them that He is building His church and will do so in perpetuity. That the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the time that it was started during the ministry of Christ, and again, there were no Catholics in the ministry of Christ. There weren't any Presbyterians or Lutherans or Episcopalians or Methodists. They were people. In fact, every member of that first little church, you know who they were. You know whose baptism they had, who they were baptized by? John the Catholic. Oh no, it wasn't John the Catholic. It was John the Baptist. It wasn't John the Lutheran or John the Presbyterian or John the community organizer. It was John the Baptist. And Christ walked 60 miles to be baptized by God's appointed authority. Now, so when we talk about, and the title of the lesson tonight is Baptist Perpetuity, Christ here says, in essence, that there will be His kind of church in existence in perpetuity from the time He started it. And I believe that a case can be made all the way through eternity, through the eternal ages. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians 3:21. And I believe that, again, Baptists historically, you see, one of the reasons why my mind's been running on this theme is because I had to answer these questions in the Berea Baptist Banner, then South Urban Baptist Church, Brother Donnie Burford has asked me to come and preach two messages and they assign me topics. One is, what is a church? The second one is to prove the doctrinal and historical proof that Baptists are the Lord's church. So, this has been running in my mind. You're going to get those messages sometime down the line. Now, the question was asked. And there's a statement made and then a question asked. I thought it was a good question. They said, we believe that Jesus started His church. I believe that as a Baptist. If I didn't believe that, why would I be here? If I did not think this was the kind of church that Jesus started, why would I be in this church? You see, I don't come to church out of social obligation or personal friendship. I come because God added me to this body. And I believe it's the body of Christ that meets here in this location. I didn't come here by accident. I came here by appointment. I am not a Baptist by convenience, even though I only live a half mile down the road. If this weren't the Lord's church, I would travel to where there was one. So I'm a Baptist by conviction, not by convenience. We believe that Jesus started His church and that Baptists have a lineage back to the first church. And I do believe that. That there have been Baptist churches in every age. Now, the question is, but how did Baptists come down through the Dark Ages to where we are today? You understand the Dark Ages were the time period when the Roman Catholic Church really reigned supreme. The Catholic Church really started in its real genesis and power, if you will, around 300 to 600 AD. That's when it really picked up steam. And from 600 AD until the 1400s, early 1500s, the Roman Catholic Church reigned supreme. They dominated. They killed people who did not agree with them. They butchered Baptists and Anabaptists and Bible believers under a whole host of different names that I believe were what we would today identify as Baptists. But the question is, how did they get through the Dark Ages to this day? And the statement is, any books that Baptists wrote were naturally destroyed by the Catholics. So we have no history of Baptists in the Dark Ages. I'll do you one better. If the Baptists had any money, I doubt if it was to write books. It was probably just to stay alive. You know, because if you were a Baptist in the Dark Ages, you were in trouble. You didn't know from day to day as a congregation and as individual members if the Roman Catholic Church was going to snuff you out. That's how serious they were. You can read the stories of the Inquisition and how they literally burnt people at the stake and butchered them and imprisoned them. So they say, were there Baptists then? Of course there were Baptists then. You say, well, where's the historical records? All right, here's my answer. And then we'll get into Baptist perpetuity. As a Bible believer, I firmly believe that my lineage as a human being goes back to the three sons of Noah on this side of the flood. And ultimately, all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam, the first man, Eve, the mother of all living. Again, I believe what the Bible says, that Adam was indeed the first man. And that we trace our lineage, our human lineage, back to Adam and Eve. I'm going to be honest, I've never really studied my family tree. I've never looked how far back it goes. We may, you know, I don't have any idea. I think my dad might have been a Welsh or English. For all I know, we might be Polacks. You know, are you allowed to say that anymore? You know, we may be Polish. I don't have no idea, really, what my lineage is. But I do know this. I know I'm a descendant of Adam and Eve. I believe that by faith because the Bible states that truth. I don't need historical records to prove that I'm a human being. And let me guarantee, let me go one better than that. I am not descended from lower life forms. I'm not descended from an amoeba or a reptile or a bird or a donkey or a monkey. I come from God directly created Adam and Eve. I believe God is the one that gave me life. When my parents came together and there was conception, God brought all that to life and preserved me. I am a human being. You know, I don't like it when people say he's a good human being. Almost like, you know, he's evolved this way. And now he's a good... You know, were it not for the grace of God, I'd be a rotten human being. But Jesus Christ saved my soul. So, let's kind of make application. How do we know Baptists go all the way back to the first church Jesus started during His earthly ministry? How do we know that we go all the way back to the kind of church that He gave the Great Commission to, that He promised perpetuity and endless existence to from that point forward? Well, I think Matthew 16:18. Christ did not give this promise to the Roman Catholic Church or to any of her Protestant daughters that came out of the Roman Church. I mean, I can prove that, number one, historically. I can prove it, number two, doctrinally. Because you look at the churches of the New Testament. They all believed in salvation by sovereign grace. Not by works of any form. Not by any law keeping. They didn't believe salvation was in church membership or by baptism or by good works. They baptized a people who professed their faith in Christ. There's not a place in the Bible where a baby is ever baptized or ever sprinkled. Nobody in the Bible is sprinkled for the ordinance of baptism. They are literally submerged in water. Jesus went down into the water when John the Baptist baptized Him in the river of Jordan. I've always wondered, how could you ever, you know, like the films that Sesabita Mills or whatever that cat's name was, where they have John the Baptist out in this river and Jesus is out there and He dips down and sprinkles Him with water. What? How idiotic, man. There's no way that's authentic. Baptism is by immersion in water. Catholics don't do that. Protestants don't do that. Baptists have been... They did it for 1,800 years before anybody else did. Now, you see, the Roman Church, Protestants were not even in existence when this promise was made. I'll tell you what, if you really believe what Christ said here, you can't believe that you came out of the Reformation. I don't identify with the Protestant Reformation because I believe Jesus started His church. And I didn't come out of Rome. Now, this promise was made to a group of saved men chosen by Christ and baptized with the baptism of John the Baptist during the earthly ministry of Christ. He told that first church that the church that He founded as an institution would have a perpetual existence without fail. And it clearly means that Christ never intimated that His kind of church would ever need to be reformed or restarted. Okay? Now, Jesus reinforced this truth of Baptist perpetuity and succession when He gave the Great Commission. Turn over with me to Matthew 28. This further supports my premise, the biblical premise. Matthew 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Always. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Okay? Now, I emphasize that last phrase, even to the end of the world. Christ promised to be with His kind of church unto the end of the age, the end of the world, as it faithfully carried out the terms of the commission. The terms of the commission, preach the gospel. That's aspect of teaching all nations. You teach them there's only one way of salvation, and it's through the death, the burial, faith in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's the message of salvation. The once they were saved and they made public profession, which, believe me, when people did that back then, it cost them a lot. Socially, politically, economically. I mean, you look at what happened when people made their profession of faith and were baptized, they were persecuted. It was almost a guarantee that you were going to be persecuted. Okay? Now, Catholics and Protestants. Now, there are Protestants that preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ as the way of salvation. I thank God for that. But you do realize that Protestants all bear the mark of their mama. I mean, they have the characteristics of the Roman Church. Many of them held on to infant baptism. Many of them held on to some version of church salvation. I mean, I don't believe that you have to be a member of a church to go to heaven. But that is the nexus of the Roman Catholic Church. It's why they baptize babies. They think they're saving their souls. Or at least getting them a place for a while in purgatory. You know? But look at all the doctrines that the Roman Church holds to, that Jesus Christ never taught. Teach them to observe all things. So, did Christ ever teach the worship and exaltation and prayer to Mary? Did Christ ever teach the perpetual virginity of Mary? Did Christ ever teach that we ought to baptize unsuspecting infants by sprinkling water on their head? Did Christ ever teach that you're to pray over a series of beads repetitiously? Did Christ ever teach that you are to confess your sins to a priest? Did Christ ever teach that that there would be one bishop exalted above all others, who would be known as the Papa, the Pope of Rome? No, no, no. None of those things are taught. None of those teachings are perpetuated by Christ and His kind of church. So you start off wrong with the Roman church. Now, this first church, only Baptists have really carried out the terms of the commission as they were laid out. They preached an accurate gospel. When they saw sinners saved, they baptized them by immersion into the church. And then they began to teach them the apostles' doctrine, the faith once delivered unto the saints. And Baptists have done this on a continual basis in every century, without fail. You say, how can you be assured of that? Because Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I don't need a historical record. I need the Word of Christ. And that's what He said. Now, fortunately, and you're going to find this out probably next week, that even Protestants and Catholics acknowledge historically that Baptists go all the way back to Christ. I'm going to give you their own statements. Now, don't read the forum of the Berea Baptist Banner. Okay? Because a lot of this is in there. Although, I am elaborating a little bit more than if I was doing that. Than I did in there, because it's too much material. Now, here's another one that I think is rarely ever mentioned by Baptists. But I think it's a really good one. Proving perpetuity and succession. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And verse 16. Now again, if you understand, if you study your Bible and you know who He's talking to here, He's talking to the first church. John 13 through 17, He's talking to that original, the original members of that first church, the apostles. And He makes this statement, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Oh boy, that shoots down free will, don't it? That's a dagger to the heart of free willism. You haven't chose me, I have chosen you. And ordained you. That simply means I appointed you, set you apart. I ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And I contend that Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church is part of that apostolic fruit that still remains. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Christ is talking to the first church. And He promised that as they went and brought forth fruit, their fruit would remain. Now, I'm going to stop there because next week I want to show you how this verse, this promise, plays out in the book of Acts, and then which is the history of the early church. And then I'm going to show you historically why I believe in Baptist perpetuity. So I'm proving it to you biblically why I believe this truth. And then historically, we're going to look at it next week.